Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this show, Wednesday, May the 24th, 2023. Thank you for listening. Good morning, Ed Battagliano.
Good morning, Tim Wildman.
Christopher Woodward.
Good morning.
Fred Jackson, would he quit on us? What's going on with Fred?
He's taking what Canadians call a holiday.
Oh, yeah.
Not a holiday. He's on holiday.
Yeah, he's on holiday.
That's what they say in Britain, right?
They do,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's their way of saying what we Americans call vacation.
Yes,
true?
Vacation.
Yeah.
And I think he's actually at a conference, mm-hmm. like a Bible conference or something.
Yeah. Good for Fred. That brother, he knows the Word of God himself.
He does. He's an excellent Sunday school teacher and Bible teacher.
When he gets back, you should just, like, jokingly, like, prank him, like, hey, you're doing Exploring the Word today. Just you.
Yeah. Oh, why would that be funny?
Oh, I mean, because he is a Bible teacher.
You think teaching the Bible's funny, Chris?
No.
You think that's a joke?
No, sir, Ed.
That's something you should joke about?
Yeah, Chris. Come on, man. Don't joke about teaching the Bible.
You're right. This is a ministry.
Funny.
Yes.
what I'm saying, good.
Yeah, that's
what I'm saying is Fred, mm-hmm. in all seriousness, is an outstanding Bible teacher.
He is.
Yes.
In his own right. He's not a pastor, but I've heard him teach the Word of God and really enjoyed his approach. Mm-hmm. All right, lot to talk about today. Thanks for joining us. Ed, you want to tell folks how they can engage with us here?
Oh, yes. Please engage with us, folks. Yes, listen, you can obviously, if you're listening to the program, you have access via radio or your app or whatever, but you can watch the video live stream too if you want to. I don't know why you would. We're not exactly
would.
We're not exactly gentlemen's quarterly here, but listen, you can see some. You can see Tim eat Chris popcorn.
Is,
you can.
Chris is our eye candy.
Chris is our eye.
I like old Dusty. But yeah, thank you.
All right, folks. Yeah. If you want to see our version of eye candy, and I do mean that's our version.
My wife is like, "Are you talking about Chris?"
I married him for his money,
yeah.
Not his looks.
Let me tell you, broadcasting has, ooh, yeah.
All right, so you can go to Facebook Live and you can search for Today's Issues and click through, and you can watch the live video stream, or you can go to our own streaming platform. That's streaming.afa.net. We also have the live video stream.
But on Facebook, on our Today's Issues Facebook page, we also post the stories that we talk about.
Yes.
Yes.
Eye Candy does that.
Yes, he does. So you can have that information for yourselves, what we base our comments on, the stories that we pick here to cover as news.
Yes. You know, we were talking before the show started about what call signs we would have if we were fighter pilots. I think you should go with eye candy.
Yeah, eye candy.
Oh, you mean like on Top Gun?
Yeah, like a Maverick or something. I'm going to take yours. I like Doom and Gloom.
Captain Doom and Gloom. In a world.
Captain Doom.
Hey, don't try to in a world. Outdo in a world with Ed. Ed, do your movie. Do your. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to set this up.
Oh, yeah. Just put the pressure on.
Ed's about to do a movie voice.
Trailer voice.
A movie trailer voice intro. Go, Ed.
She got me going. In an outpost at the edge of space, one man and one woman and a dog seek to save all humanity.
I'm telling you, man, you ever lose your job here? I don't know why you would, but you could go to Hollywood
and do the voice. I've actually my voice is actually decaying like the rest of me over the years. I used to do that. That was a lot better.
In a world.
See, I'm mocking you. That was me.
Yes.
Tim.
That's right.
All right. Much to discuss today. We don't have any guests, ladies and gentlemen.
It's just us.
It's just us. So
we're bringing the heat.
You're going to have to, as they say, bear with us here on the program. Or not, but we encourage you to stay with us. All right, Chris, what's the leading story today?
Well, reports are across the Milky Way galaxy that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is set to launch his 2024 presidential campaign this evening.
Well, that's a shocker.
Yes, in a story you can read on our website, AFN.net, the 44-year-old Republican governor plans to announce his decision in an online conversation tonight with the head of Twitter, Elon Musk. That's according to various people with knowledge of the decision. They spoke to the Associated Press and other news outlets talking about this. If you are not aware of this story, again, you can read it at AFN.net, and I will share the links. But the audio-only event will be streamed on Twitter Spaces beginning at 6 p.m. or 5 p.m. Central. 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central. There's also a follow-up of primetime appearances scheduled for news outlets, including Fox News Channel.
What do you think about this, Ed? This is a new way to...
I think it's smart.
Innovative.
I think it's a smart move. Listen, the number of eyeballs, in this case, it's, you said, audio only. Mm-hmm. But the number of views, eyeballs, listeners that you get with traditional media, and that would include Fox, even though they do better, generally speaking, than CNN and MSNBC, et cetera. Although they've taken quite a hit after unceremoniously firing Tucker Carlson. But the amount of attention you get through social media far exceeds what you get from legacy media or even conservative media like Fox. So I think this is a smart idea. If you want to kind of distance yourself from the former president, Donald Trump, you certainly don't go on Truth Social. You go on Twitter. Those two social platforms are at odds. So you're basically, without mentioning his name, you're making it clear that you're going with the social media platform that's not connected to Donald Trump.
So this afternoon, 5 o'clock Central Time, 6 right. o'clock Eastern Time, Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida will make an appearance with businessman, entrepreneur, rocket man in his own right, Elon Musk.
Correct.
The richest man in the world. It still is, right?
He's one of.
After he bought Twitter, I think it's.
Okay. Anyway, do you realize, so that's 5 o'clock, so that's, do you realize Elon Musk has 140 million people that follow him on Twitter?
Wow.
Look at the 140 million.
Well, how many are on Twitter, period? That's huge.
Well, of course, Chris, this is worldwide. It's a worldwide platform.
And if you want to get instant interest in your campaign, because I think a lot of people are not paying attention. It's the end towards the end of May. People are thinking about vacation, schools getting out. What are we going to do? That kind of thing. They're not really thinking politics. You're going to make your announcement in May after the legislative session is over. This is a good way to garner really worldwide interest and give people a peek at your campaign before everyone goes off for the summer.
Now, I did read, I think Governor DeSantis is also going to appear on Fox News.
Mm-hmm. That's our story.
After the appearance with Elon Musk.
Right.
Now, there's going to be Elon Musk and another fella.
Yeah.
Doing a conversation or having a conversation with Governor DeSantis. That's how this is going to go, right?
Correct. Yeah, there's going to be a moderator. That's how he's being identified. I don't have his name in front of him, but I do know some news outlets have referred to him as a tech entrepreneur and also an acquaintance of Governor DeSantis, as well as Musk.
If I were Governor DeSantis, my greatest fear would be you start this conversation and Elon Musk looks at you and goes, you know what, Governor? I want to take a few minutes to talk about rockets.
Right. Huh? What do you know about?
Can you explain to me what you know about rockets and how, because that's my business.
Right.
And I want to know, and putting satellites up around the earth.
Yeah.
Can we go into detail on that?
And if I was Governor DeSantis, I would say, no, we cannot. I cannot go into detail about that.
I would say, well, you know what? We got Cape Canaveral over here and.
In your state.
In our state. What's your next question?
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. You want to find out more?
No, it's going to be interesting to see how this goes. And I think the governor is also going to make an in-person announcement in his hometown, which is somewhere down around Tampa. Okay. I don't know when that will be. Next week, I think. Some kind of a – some. You know how a lot of – the old-fashioned way of doing announcements for is at a maybe a setting where you have your friends and yes. fans and your friends
– in the background.
In standing. The background.
That's what Tim Scott did.
Yeah. Right.
Nikki yeah, that kind of right. announcement. Anyway, that's this afternoon.
Yes, and we will be here with coverage through the evening. So please do stick with AFR and AFN.
Okay, as it stands today, all right, the Republican field is, can you name them?
I can name most of them.
Well, how okay. do you know you can't name all of them?
Well, because I'm sure Politico and some of these other news outlets might have left people off. But I'll tell you this, you got committed, okay? Donald Trump, he announced months ago.
Right.
Nikki Haley. We had Tim Scott formally announced a couple of days ago. Vivek Ramaswamy, who's been on Jenna's show a good bit over the past few months, talking about his campaign as well. And then you get into the presumably potential candidates, whatever terms.
Well, Larry Elder, the talk show host.
Larry Elder is confirmed, announced. Yeah. We've also
Asa
got
Hutchinson.
Asa Hutchinson, that is correct. Chris Christie has been one of the people that we've talked about. Possibly joining the fray, and then you've got DeSantis tonight, Mike Pence maybe.
There's also a businessman who's a billionaire, not Donald Trump, somebody else who's, I can't think of the fellow's name, but he's also announced he's running. Very few people know who he is.
Oh.
So look it up.
I must have missed that one.
Look it up. Billionaire businessman running for GOP. Right, look that up, Chris.
I'm doing it.
Guy's name.
Chris, come on.
Perry Johnson.
That's what I'm talking about, Perry.
Good old Perry?
Yeah, Perry.
What does it say about him?
Republican businessman Perry Johnson has announced his long shot bid
that's
for president.
That's what Tim said.
That's from the Associated Press.
That's my bio sketch.
That's you talk about long shot. Yeah. But now he will be able to say on his resume,
right.
yeah.
former presidential candidate.
Right.
I'd like to go ahead and announce right now, because I'm sure tens of people are wondering. You've got, I am not,
you're
or
not?
Will I ever run for office.
Okay, so... in all seriousness, if you look at the polls today, and the mm-hmm. polls can change, and I think they will, former President Trump has a big lead on everybody else.
Sure does.
But second is Governor Ron DeSantis of mm-hmm. Florida, and then the other people that you mentioned a few minutes ago, all fine people, are under 10.
Right.
Polling under 10, most of them in the 5 mm-hmm. to 4 to 3% range. So, here we go. It's going to be you got the summer, and then you got a debate in August, the GOP debate in August, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got think about this. You wonder why most Americans don't pay attention to politics till you get around Election Day.
Right.
Or at least a few weeks out. Most Americans, I would say. I think the majority of Americans take a casual view of politics, right? But not really focused until probably a few weeks out from an election, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, they'll start paying attention
yeah.
with the debates, because August is the first GOP presidential debate. There may be more. I don't know. It depends on whether former President Trump wants to get into the debate scene. But that's in the run-up to what we consider the holiday season, Thanksgiving, and then Christmas and New Year, and then you get the Iowa caucus, New Hampshire primary, South Carolina.
Yeah.
So that's a All lot right. for people to sift through to be interested.
Let's look at it in the terms of sports, okay? We've got a whole football season to go through, including...
I personally think baseball would be better to talk about in terms of the dog days of the summer. You have a handfuls of people who will pay attention to batting averages and
yeah.
half a game behind and a three-game series, home and away. Not many people pay attention to
but
all
I'm not,
that.
Yes, but I think we're missing each other, although I agree with that. I'm not talking metaphorically, Ed. I'm talking literally.
Okay.
I'm talking the Iowa caucuses, which is first on the agenda for the Republicans, is sometime
right.
in January. I'm just saying it's going to be a long, hot summer and a brutal fall for these Republican candidates.
Try to catch people's attention.
Yeah, try to
do. You know what? Hockey season will have started
yes,
back
yes.
and be 3 months into it before the first voting.
All right, Chris, is that story? You got anything else related to it?
Well, I do want to mention this because, you know, the front runners right now are going to be Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis, as you guys have pointed out, when you look at their poll numbers and the optimism that people have around both of those candidates. Many people are wondering how Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis might engage one another on a debate stage or on the campaign trail, assuming they're in the same place on the same weekend, stuff like that.
Are you, you're still wondering?
I'm doing it as a news person.
Okay.
In a world. in a world where people are wondering how these two.
What I mean by that is Donald Trump's already been going after Ron DeSantis for 3 months.
Yes, sir, he has. So. And we have talked about that on this show, which you can listen to on AFR.net, search the podcasts. But I've got some audio here from former presidential candidate Mike Huckabee, and everybody's got an opinion over how these two should interact, if at all. But Governor Huckabee is of the opinion that it's never a good idea for any candidate to go after Donald Trump in certain ways. So I've got some audio here from Mike Huckabee, clip one.
Well, one of the things is stay out of the way and not get branded. When Trump brands somebody, it's just hard to be unbranded. And that was one of the things that hurt some of the candidates in 2016. You know, I'm sitting here today because I didn't win, but I wasn't stupid enough to go after Donald Trump and to try to take him on and call him names and enter into a spitting war with him, because it just doesn't end well. And so, you know, I think DeSantis has to run his own race. He's got a crowded field. He has to show that he's the alternative to Donald Trump. But he's got an uphill climb. And I think the more that we see that is just a target on Donald Trump's back, the harder it gets, because people are so angry that Donald Trump has been treated differently than any person who ever ran for president, and certainly any person who ever was president.
Governor, former governor of Arkansas, Mike Huckabee, and Republican candidate for president.
Two times.
Yes.
And a good friend of ours.
Yes.
Yes.
I think he's the governor is spot on. Listen, the fact of the matter is Ron DeSantis has an uphill climb against Donald Trump for the very reasons that Governor Huckabee cited. Not only are there people who remain very loyal to Trump, but it is becoming clear to anyone except the leftists that Donald Trump was targeted by the full power of a weaponized federal government, even while he was president. And it's going to take a lot to shake people off that loyalty to Trump. So I agree. DeSantis has to be careful. I think that
you think DeSantis should come up with a nickname for Trump?
No.
Why not?
No, because I don't think you can out Trump Trump. All right. Now that is Donald Trump's thing, as we've talked about for years.
Calling people names.
Well, he's a New York City brawler. Okay, and that is in the fiber of his personality, and you don't want to pretend that you're a brawler if you're not. Now, DeSantis is a fighter. That's clear. He takes on all comers. He doesn't back down off what he believes. But his strength is his ability to articulate with passion his conservative positions. Donald Trump, one of his strengths is that he is a New York City brawler, and you're not going to out-brawl a brawler. It's like, to me, it's like saying, okay, so we're going to fight. What are the rules? And Donald Trump smiles and he says, there ain't no rules. Okay, you get an elbow to the face, you got to live with it. So to me, that's part of what Ron DeSantis has, and they probably have figured this out. That's part of what he's got to figure is, how do I promote myself? How do I not look weak when Donald Trump attacks me? But I don't want to get into a brawl with a brawler. Does that make sense?
What's the difference between a brawl and a fight? They're having a political fight.
Well,
I would call it get down in the gutter.
Well, what I'm saying is boxing in a boxing ring with rules and a referee is different than getting in a fight on the street. And that's, to me, that's the difference between DeSantis and Trump. You don't go into a street.
You're saying
brawl.
Trump doesn't fight fair?
No. And the people who have fought against him don't fight fair. And that's part of the draw.
Well, I would agree on the left.
Yeah. No, I think Governor Huckabee is exactly right. You don't want to try to poke fun of Donald Trump and give him nicknames because you're not going to out-Trump Trump. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. Like I said, it's going to be a long, hot summer. But Governor DeSantis making the announcement this evening.
Yes.
And then, as Ed says, let the games begin.
Yes.
We'll see. We'll see if any other people enter the race. I will say this. There is, although DeSantis has a, as Governor Huckabee said there, an uphill climb, there is precedent for people in the back of the field, so to speak, or way behind, coming back.
Oh, yeah.
At this point, because Hillary Clinton was way out ahead of Barack Obama.
She was.
At this time. Let's see. Rudy Giuliani was way out ahead of John McCain.
Huckabee won Iowa.
So,
2012.
I think those saying it's President Trump and there's no contest, there's not going to be a contest, I think that's premature.
Absolutely.
To make that kind of an argument.
To your point, Karl Rove, who
I have a point,
never met
Chris.
A whiteboard he never liked.
Who had a whiteboard?
Karl Rove, who never met a whiteboard he didn't like. Oh. He's always on Fox.
I thought you boy. Said white boy. And
no.
We don't need to make this a racial thing.
I remember Chris's last day.
Yeah.
No, but Karl Rove, there's a story. I'll share the link here in a sec. He was on Fox, as he always is. And Mr. Rove is of the opinion that, like you said here, polls tend to change after people enter. And Rove says, we've seen front runners fade. And he's talking about other races that you just mentioned.
All right, next story, Chris.
Well, I do want to make people aware of this. There is right now, and I'll share this link on our Facebook page, the House Oversight Committee is having a hearing right now talking about the efforts by President Biden and other Democrats to try to ban gas stoves and restrict things involving gas. The stated purpose for this effort by the government, and really some state and local governments, is to help improve air quality and ensure that people breathe right and they gas is not causing pollution and stuff like that. But Republicans are saying this is silly. There's nothing wrong with gas. It's how many people cook, and government shouldn't be telling you what you can or cannot cook your supper with. So I'll share a link to that as well for people to watch and get information after this show is over with.
Is this serious?
It is. It is. Because we've already had the same government for years tell us what we should eat, down to the plastic straws in our cups and stuff like that. So as silly as it may seem, every little inch you allow the government to get into your life down to the appliances that we use, they will just continue to force this down our throat.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, we're a nation born out of, you can't tell me to have this. You can't tell me to do that. And for some reason, we have a lot of people, unfortunately, these days, just going, okay, Uncle Sam, I'll do whatever you want me to do.
Ed, who's going to get the pro-gas stove vote?
Who's going to get the pro gas stove vote?
Yeah, you got to pick a side on gas stoves and vote for your candidate.
Well, listen, we've said this many times on this show. I agree with John McCain when he said this. Elections have consequences. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to vote statists into office, and by that I mean you don't have to be a socialist to be a statist. A statist is someone who believes the state is basically the one who runs the show. If you're going to vote those people into office, don't be surprised when they say things like, we're coming for your gas stove. We're coming for your air conditioner, your window unit.
I just think
they have the power. They have the power to do it.
I just think those are political losers.
I do.
For whoever promotes those ideas.
Sure.
I really do. All right. We're going to take a short time out right here. We'll be back with more of today's issues on American Family Radio. Stay with us.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to today's issues on American Family Radio. Going back to the announcement by Governor DeSantis this 5 o'clock this afternoon on Twitter.
Central time.
You were saying, Chris, that and Ed, you were saying you thought it was a great idea on the part of Governor DeSantis. Also, Elon Musk, he wants to turn Twitter into more of a breaking news mm-hmm. platform.
Right.
And so I don't personally think it had anything to do necessarily with it being Governor DeSantis. He probably would have invited – he'll probably invite a Democrat on if they want to do it. Who would help give exposure to his platform? So it's kind of a win-win. It's a win for Governor DeSantis. It's a win for Elon Musk and his business of Twitter. Also, I think if you're somebody like Governor DeSantis, Elon Musk has asked him on, and Elon Musk is, he's not a journalist per se, but they say, he says, I want to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think that's probably the best setting for somebody like Governor DeSantis, mm-hmm. where you can, and quite frankly, it would be for any candidate. I think most Americans are tired of gotcha questions and, like they tried to do with Trump the other day on
the CNN host.
CNN host, just be hostile from the get go.
Right.
And I think Governor DeSantis he's turned down major media interviews. It's well documented because he says, you know, I'm not going to help these people while they try to promote their own false narrative.
Well, I took your dad's advice years ago because I had all sorts of opportunities to, you know, to do media and did media for AFA for a lot of years. I never did an interview with what we now call the legacy media if it was taped. I only did live interviews because I don't trust them. And your dad was the one who said, you trust them and they will make you look silly. And so the same kind of thinking goes into politicians who are conservatives. When they go on, they have to make these calculations. Am I going to get a fair shake? And, you know, it was very irritating when President Trump did that town hall and the CNN, I don't remember her name, the CNN hostess, the host, she kept characterizing what President Trump was saying. So, because she asked him, are you going to accept the results of the 2024 elections if you lose? And President Trump said, if it's fair, if the election is fair, then of course. She says, so you won't. She was putting words in his mouth and kept doing it. She did it two or three times. That's why Trump said, you're a nasty person.
Caitlin Collins.
Yeah, that's who it was. And you know what? Conservatives don't want to have to run through that hedge of thorns every time they speak. So
I don't think some of the other candidates, like Governor Tim Scott the other day, he did his senator from South Carolina. Mm-hmm. He did his announcement in front of family and friends and fans in South Carolina and gave a personal testimony type talk about his life story. So anyway, all right, next story, Chris.
Well, this is something that has been playing out for a few days now and will probably continue to play out for a few more days, that being Target and the merchandise that they've been selling in their stores. If you've not been to a Target or you've not been in one, and certainly we've, as AFA's, had a boycott of Target stores for several years now, Target has been pushing LGBTQIA+ merchandise for a long time now. And people have been raising concerns about some of the latest batch of merchandise because it's gone from just the pride items to things that say queer and other controversial merchandise.
Also, what's really gotten the ire of a lot of Americans in the last week or so, okay, you got June coming mm-hmm. up, and it's Pride Month for LGBTQ. It's Pride Month.
Correct.
Quite frankly, it's Pride Year. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't tell any difference. I mean, this stuff is being promoted all over the place all the time. However, what Target's decided to do, they put this LGBTQ clothing and I don't know what else they got. They put it up front and center.
They got mugs. They have books. They have.
You're a customer of Target. You go in, you get, this is the first thing you see.
Right.
Okay. And I haven't been in the store. I'm going on others have said about their
experience. I'm sure in the links.
And so they, it's in your face, okay? It's in your face, and it's in your children's face. And people don't want that. People don't want that. So what Target's now doing, they're kind of in a quandary because they are admitting that they're having to pull this merchandise back and put it in other parts of the store, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not saying they're taking it out, but they're putting it in other parts of the store. Well, that's going to get the ire of the LGBTQ activists.
Right.
Because they're going to say, what are you doing? You're yielding to these, you know, these bigots out there. And so it's kind of like Bud Light in a way. These companies just need to sell their merchandise. Quit getting into left-wing politics and trying to jam that down the throats of the average American, because people don't like that. Most people don't like that. So what do you think about what I just said, Ed?
Well, no, that's exactly right. These corporations are banking on one thing, okay? And that one thing is that the cultural views of these issues won't change, all right? Because they are all in promoting one side of this very contentious issue. And I'll tell you where else Target has gotten themselves in trouble. And I think this is a huge mistake. They're jumping all in on the pro-transgender part of the LGBTQ movement. And where that's running into trouble is erasing women. Because one of the things that Target did, and this was the most, perhaps the most controversial part of their quote-unquote gay pride displays, is their merchandise includes female-style swimsuits. Now, folks, I'm going to try to be as vague as possible.
You're on your own with this.
Okay.
Okay.
Female-style swimsuits that allow men to hide out of sight the fact that they're obviously men. All right? That's right. What the swimsuits – again, that's use your imagination or don't use it, probably better. And what is happening is that there are a lot of women who are going, you know what? Stop trying to erase us. All right. These are men. They're not women. And when you put women's swimsuits out, giving men the ability to try to appear like women, it's just like Adidas. Adidas used a man in a women's swimsuit to advertise women's swimsuits.
Mm-hmm.
And the women are saying, use real women. And this is part of what Target has gotten themselves in trouble for. Second of all, they have a lot of products directed towards children, which goes to your point, Tim. And then, Chris, tell me if I'm right here, one of the companies, or maybe the company that's producing a lot of these pride products for Target, the owner of the company is an out-and-out Satanist.
Yes, that's been widely reported. Fox News, New York Post, Newsmax has probably done stories on this. I mean, there have been images on Twitter and other social media platforms of things that include little, like, pins, some sort of paraphernalia that says, you know, Satan uses pronouns or Satan, yeah. All kinds of just horrible, demonic, evil things. There's no other way to describe how awful that is.
That's in addition to what ignited the boycott that we called for in April of 2016. So we just passed the 7-year anniversary of that. Over 1.5 million people have signed that promise to boycott Target. That was for them bragging about the fact that men are allowed to access women's restrooms and women's changing areas. And just in the last year, we just put out another action alert.
We did.
In April. Marking the anniversary of the boycott, noting that there were at least 5 very public examples here in the last year of men being arrested for invading those spaces and taking pictures of women while they are changing, while they're vulnerable. Now, who knows how many guys got away with it, how many perverts, but that's thanks to Target's policy.
A couple of weeks ago, when people were starting to write things in places like the Federalist about the trans pride merchandise, for example, popping up in Target stores around the country, I spoke with a young lady named Andrea Mew, and she works for the Independent Women's Forum, And she wrote a piece in The Federalist, which I've shared a link for in the Facebook comments for this show. But Andrea Mue, she raised various concerns to me about all the trans merch, for example, in Target stores. And amongst her many concerns is that this opens the door to a child questioning his or her sexuality. And I have some audio here to play. Clip three.
Yes. So a lot of the women who work at my organization actually have gone to their local Targets and seen these products for themselves. Beyond just the clothing, it's these board books that say things like bye-bye binary, talking about erasing the gender binary, or a pronoun book that is apparently a wonderful way to explain different pronouns to babies. These are things that the women at my organization have discovered firsthand at their own local Targets, as well as a lot of people online. Ever since publishing this piece, I have received so many different comments from people across the nation showing pictures of these different products, whether it's Target, Walmart, any big brands.
One of the other things that Andrea mentioned to me is that she feared this. And by the way, she said, I'm a Gen Z person, so I'm a Zoomer, as they like to be called. And she went on to say that, you know, I'm concerned about the next generation because we've grown up in a world where we're getting pummeled with this stuff. You know, and I'm paraphrasing at this point. Lord help the people that are going to come after Gen Z that are just, it's going to be everywhere, you know. You won't be able to go anywhere without being hit in the face with this kind of stuff. She also talked about how she was fearful that this is kind of the death of the tomboy, because over the years, you know, some girls go through a phase where they just like to be out, you know, in their overalls, running outside, having a good time or whatever. Right. And now, like, you know, that any girl that appears that way, what you guys would call tomboys in your generations, now you have doctors and teachers and community leaders saying, oh, it's because you're trans and, you know, we need to change you and stuff like that.
Well, the fact is that most of the studies that have been done on this, the valid studies show that whatever gender confusion many children have, mm-hmm. is dissipates by the time they're in high school. And by the time they graduate in high school, they are settled and without any question or phobias or any of those kind of things in the gender that matches with their biological sex. Actually, gender and sex are actually the same thing,
right,
despite the propaganda coming from the left. So the issue is, if you try to lock those kids into their confusion by changing their bodies, by going with this gender, quote unquote, gender affirming changes, then when they get to high school or they leave high school and their head begins to get on straight, now you've done irreversible damage to their body. And that's why there are countries like Norway, like Sweden, like Finland, and like Denmark, which are all pulling away, reversing course and saying no gender mutilation, no puberty blockers when kids are minors. So the U.S. is actually falling behind the quote-unquote science on this, because there are a lot of people in this country who are all in on this transgender movement and really can't reverse course without looking really bad.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio, and we appreciate you listening. I'm Tim with Ed and Chris, next story.
Well, this could have been a lead story, and this will certainly be something that we'll hear Republican presidential campaign candidates have to answer questions about, that being border security. Earlier today, Jenna Ellis, who always has fantastic guests on her program on AFR Talk, she talked to a number of people this morning, including Congressman Jim Jordan, who expressed some concerns about the border problems that we're having there on the southern border. And Mr. Jordan is of the opinion, like a lot of politicians and private citizens, that what's going on at the southern border is completely intentional and Biden's not going to do anything about it. Clip nine.
This is intentional. Day one, they decided that they were not going to continue building the wall, that they were going to get rid of the Remain in Mexico policy that worked so well under President Trump. And they decided that when people come in the country, they're going to be released. So when you send the message to the world that, oh, there's no wall to get over, you won't have to wait in Mexico to have your claim evaluated, and when you get into the country, you'll be released wherever you want to go, everyone's going to come. And until you change that fundamental thing, we will not release you into the country. We will detain you, or you will have to wait in Mexico while we evaluate your asylum claim. Until you make that change, nothing's going to change. And so our legislation that we passed 3 weeks ago, that was the fundamental focus of our bill, and it passed. It was the strongest immigration enforcement border security legislation ever passed in modern history in the United States House of Representatives. It's a good bill, but that's the fundamental issue, and they have created this intentionally, which sort of raises the basic question, why? Why would they do this to these people who are having bad things happen to them on this journey? Why would they do this to our country? Just how radical the left has become today.
Yeah, great observation there. I mean, not great in the sense that this is good what's happening, but great in the sense that he's exactly right. That's Jim Jordan, the congressman from Ohio. We've mentioned it many times before. I think we share the view this is intentional, like Jim Jordan said. Biden and the Democrats want to flood America with people, with millions of people who they let into the country and let them go into the interior of the country. They never have any, there's never any desire to have them go through a legal process. We've seen now these asylum claims, which all of them claim asylum. Their hearings now are now 5-10 years from now. So it's just, it's open borders. They call it whatever they want to. Karine Jean-Pierre, the Biden, she's a gaslighter. From the time she gets up in the morning with so unless there's a, this is going to continue unabated unless there's a change in the White House. But see, that's a year and a half away before we have even a presidential election. So in the meantime, Biden's letting millions come here. So, and you know, the governor of Texas, governor of Texas, Abbott, he's actually calling on other states to help send National Guardsmen to set up barriers.
I think Mississippi has sent some.
Well, other states have too. Florida did. Other states have sent. I think 25 states have said we're going to help you to go. Huh?
We want to help fulfill your vision.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? It's just it's an odd place to be when the president of the United States wants to sabotage his own country. I don't think our founders ever considered that. Why would you? Mm-hmm. Huh? Why would you want to work against your own interest? But Biden said, remember all the Democrats again raised their hands. Mm-hmm. All the Democrats running for president raised their hands and said yes on free health care for anybody who comes here illegally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember that? Yep. They called them undocumented, and now they just call them migrants. These folks, they used to be called illegal aliens.
Right.
Then they went from that to being undocumented. And I always want to say, what documents are they missing?
Right.
Right.
You call them undocumented. Why are they undocumented?
Right.
Because they're here
illegally.
Illegally.
Right.
And listen, that doesn't diminish their humanity by any means or stretch. These people, I look at them and I go, I feel sorry for these people. The vast majority of them, you know, they're poor, they're uneducated, they're trying to get to America for, you know, so they...
Free health care.
But I'm sorry, you don't cut line and get in by the... Well, you do with Biden. You're not supposed to be able to get here except you go through the legal process of applying for citizenship. Mm-hmm. And you obey the laws. But Biden has said, no, I don't want to stop anybody from coming here. So that, I don't know, other than what the governor of Texas is doing and Arizona and some others, well, not the governor now of Arizona. I'm not sure what you can do exactly.
Well, listen, I applaud the Republicans in the House of Representatives for what they're trying to do. But to your point that you made, there's nothing else you can do. If you've got the Senate, which is not going to cooperate with the bills that you've passed in the House,
right,
and you certainly aren't going to get the President of the United States to sign bills that go against his vision, which is to let everybody in who wants to come. So the House is doing what they can, but barring a flip of the Senate and a flip of who's holding the White House, and again, like you said, we're a ways away time-wise from that. You're just going to have to do what you can to keep everything together before it disintegrates.
Right.
And our systems are overwhelmed.
Yeah. Well, they're already being overwhelmed in New York City and in Chicago and some of these other major cities who are sanctuary cities. They were virtue signaling a couple of years ago saying we welcome all illegal, are all undocumented, are all immigrants.
Well, Ray Pritchard yesterday said these cities were all for being sanctuary cities until they actually had to be a sanctuary.
Yeah.
And now they're
crying foul.
Yes.
Yeah. Mayor Eric Adams said this week in New York City, every town, every city needs to take on these migrants, not just us. We should all share the burden.
No, Mayor. You need to call the White House and tell them shut down the border.
Right.
That's what you need to tell them. Don't complain about Republican governors or everybody needs to take one person across America.
Because none of these red states or these governors – ever said they wanted to be a sanctuary state.
Right.
New York, you said it.
Right.
Illinois,
yeah,
you
what
said
they did,
it. California,
what they
you
did
said
was
it.
What they did was these uber liberal cities and mayors like New York, Chicago, and some other places, they wanted to stand up and say we don't hate illegal aliens or immigrants. We welcome all.
Right.
Unlike Texas and Arizona and some other Florida and some other places, we welcome them all, and they shouldn't be these red state governors shouldn't be treating these people this way. They should just let them all in,
right?
Until the stroke of genius in all this was Governor Abbott.
Yes,
when he said, "Hey, we got buses out there. Who wants to go to New York?"
Yeah, that's right.
Huh?
D.C. Can't live with Kamala.
And all these people started raising their hands. I guess because a lot of them have family.
Was it Governor DeSantis or Governor Abbott that sent a bunch of them to Martha's
Vineyard? That was DeSantis.
Yeah, to Martha's Vineyard up there by Boston.
Yeah, and they cried foul for that.
Well, first they started giving them food and all that kind of stuff, but then they sent them to the mainland.
Yeah. Now they're living in. They got 70 plus thousand in New York, and they're putting them up in hotels.
Yeah.
And how long that's going to go on, who knows?
Yeah.
But that's going to only encourage more to come to New York because they're going to feed them.
In fact, New York kicked out of these hotels homeless veterans.
Right.
That were being housed. They said to them, "You're out."
You know why? The federal, I think the government, I don't know if the federal government, the city of New York pays more.
Mm-hmm.
They pay more. In other words, than
for the illegal.
If they house these folks.
Wow.
So we'll see where this goes. But the end objective for the Democrats is they want to flood the country with millions of people, illegally. And then what they do is they say, well, we want to give these people a pathway to citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
So then they want to, this is their end game. Then they want to turn them all into Democrats, who vote for socialism.
Right.
That's the goal of Biden and the Democrats.
And just to tease the next segment when Steve Jordahl is on, he has some not surprising but shocking information on some of the people who are coming across the border, including young Chinese men of military age. So we're going to talk about that with Steve Jordahl, and you wonder, well, what are they doing here?
Yeah.
And there's some scary scenarios to explain that.
Hey, we didn't talk about NAACP, the LGBTQ. You know, they're telling African Americans, the NAACP is, and the LGBTQ groups, the Human Rights Campaign, they're warning. Desperately warning African Americans and LGBTQ people, do not go to Florida. You're in grave danger.
Travel advisory.
Travel advisory.
Yes. Like you get to certain parts of Mexico where you could be kidnapped.
The State Department is advising Americans not to go to Mexico. One of those things.
What was funny was the this is trying to attack Governor DeSantis because he's announcing he's going to run for president. They're trying to kneecap him right here.
Yeah.
Hillary got in on that yesterday on Twitter.
She shared tweets. What'd she say?
She said LGBTQ groups are joining the NAACP and advising people to go to Florida, not to go to Florida because it's not safe. The irony there is, for years, people have always rumored that it might not be safe to be around the Clinton family either. But
well, what was funny was the NAACP spokesperson was on TV giving an interview, and she was warning blacks, black Americans, be aware that you're in danger if you go to Florida. And then she said, by the way, they said, so I just got back from spring break.
In Florida.
So the very person on TV warning
yes.
African-Americans that Florida's dangerous
yeah.
because of Ron DeSantis, the governor, said, I just got back from spring break.
The media was doing its job. They would have said, well, what danger were you in?
Also, one of the NAACP spokespersons here, our president, he lives in Tampa.
Yes.
And
give us examples.
And he doesn't have a U-Haul getting ready to leave.
Give us examples.
It's a bunch of garbage. They're just trying to hit Governor Ron DeSantis. That's he's a Republican. They're trying to hit him and trying to yeah. and using these ridiculous quote travel warnings over just nonsense. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.